Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Learn more at nm.org/better.
It is 9:38. Good morning to you. Some nice sunshine and a much nicer day ahead. We'll keep you posted on all of that throughout the program today. Now, though, time for the Week in Health, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine. Joining us, as always, Dr. Santina Wheat, Program Director, McGaugh Northwestern Family Medicine Residency, Northwestern Medicine, Delner Hospital. Dr. Wheat, good morning to you.
Good morning. How are you today?
Doing very well. We started off the program talking about Olympic skier Lindsey Vonn and the what seems to be, by all descriptions, an horrific accident which has taken place this morning. This following a torn ACL that left into question whether or not she would even compete in the games. I know you don't know any specifics about her case, what's going on right now. None of us do. But I wonder if we could talk just a little bit about torn ACLs and what that is and what a typical recovery is from a torn ACL.
Sure. So what the ACL is it stands for the anterior cruciate ligament. And what that ligament does is it connects two of your leg bones. So it connects the femur to the tibia. And the whole point of that ligament is to stabilize your knee as you're pivoting. And so that really means that any sport where there is twisting is harder to do when you have that tear. And having your foot stable and twisting is usually how someone tears it. So it's not actually usually the skiing itself that might do it, but if you crash and fall and your knee twists while you fall, then that's what happens. That's when you would tear it. Often recovery involves surgery and then a lot of physical therapy to try to strengthen the muscles around it to help with stabilization.
Typically, what's a recovery time for ACL tears?
You know, it really depends on how strong the muscles are around it and how well the surgeries go. I see people getting back into sports usually within a couple of months, but not generally at full strength, but recovering. Usually, I would say 6 to 8 months, I see people starting, or 6 to 8 weeks, excuse me, I see them getting back into their activities.
Now, we don't know if the accident that took place this morning for Lindsey Vonn is a result of the torn ACL that may not have been quite ready to get back out on the slopes again. There have been some reports that a ski may have gotten caught in a fence, and that may be what caused the accident. But if an ACL tear wasn't completely healed, doesn't that make that area weak to deal with the twists and turns involved in that sport? And even maybe if your ski gets caught somewhere, of regaining your balance and, it's got to leave you with a weakened leg, knee, I would think, right?
You are not wrong. I will say, though, I've read some of the interviews before she decided to compete, or when she was announcing that she was going to compete. And the thing about to remember about Lindsey Vonn is she is a downhill skier. And so it's not the skiing that we think of with all of the twists and turns. It is more a straight shot where you really can rely on more of the muscles around the knee to try to help with the stability. If she was doing moguls or other things, then I would feel much differently. But really, it's the if she falls, if her ski gets caught, like you just mentioned, those are the parts that would be more concerning.
All right. Well, I'm sure we're going to be learning much more as the day goes on. They release more information about exactly what happened there. While we're on the subject, though, of the Olympics and health, obviously, these are some of the greatest athletes in the world that are performing here, and they have been training probably all of their lives for their respective sports. Which of the sports potentially have the greatest risk of injury?
Oh, I mean, that is hard to say. I always get nervous. We're talking about skiing. I get nervous about that one a lot. I think that all of these sports really encourage the athletes to lean into some risky positions and other things. And so I think many of them have a risk for injury, and not just from the individual themselves, but like I think of like speed skating, and if someone falls and goes sliding across the ice, and then you have the possibility of crash for a lot of other people. So it really depends on what happens in that moment, in that race. I feel like there's a risk in all of them.
I guess that's the logical answer with that. Hopefully we'll learn more about Lindsey Vonn's condition, and hopefully she is not too severely injured with all of this. When we come back from a break, let me open up our phone lines and our text lines. It's been a while since we've been able to answer some questions for our listeners. Love to do that. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. With Dr. Santina Wheat coming up next. 948 The Week in Health with Dr. Santina Wheat on 720 WGN. And 312-981-7200 is our telephone number. A couple of calls and texts on the ACL issue. The 773 area code doctor says, the Derrick Rose, formerly of the Bulls, tore his ACL, and he was never the same afterwards. So, I mean, I guess, do you not come back 100% after an ACL tear?
You know, I think it is true that when you have an injury, that side is probably always going to be weaker. And there's a couple of things that go into that. Some of that is potentially the instability. I'm sure many people have experienced a sprained ankle and then think of that side as like their weaker side. But then there's also, for intense sports, there's also the psychological aspect of it too, of just being worried about having that injury again. And so I am not saying that that was the experience with Derrick Rose, but I do think that we see in sports, sometimes people, even if it is on all measurements objectively having the same strength, there is also the aspect of being worried about having that same injury again.
Yeah, a lot of people are going to point to that and say that, you know, she may have come back a little too fast. William is on the phone line at 312-981-7200. William, you're on WGN. Hello.
Yes, thank you, sir. About 20 years ago, I tore my ACL MCL, and as the doctor mentioned, I have not fully recovered from that. And a lot of your sports guys, when they play, they tear the ACL. They're normally out for the season. And I'm surprised that the doctor let her go back and play or ski.
Yeah, what was your experience with your ACL? You still have weakness?
I twisted it. Well, I twisted on ice, and I tore it, and I went down hard. And it's an aggravating pain every once in a while. And I don't have the same mobility like I used to have.
What about treatments for this, doctor? I mean, surgery is involved. I've heard that injections can help ease the pain. If somebody experiences an ACL, what's the best remedy?
Yeah, it's interesting. I was at a medical conference this weekend, and some people were talking about this in advance of this run this morning, and there's been some evidence that some people are trying to even watch ACLs even without surgery. But typically, what we see happen, particularly for athletes, is as a repair of the ACL. So it is surgery with physical therapy that happens both before and after. And then the injections or the medications that are being used are often to help with the inflammation and the pain. So somebody can get through that physical therapy aspect of it and help strengthen the muscles around it and make sure that there's stability there.
William, thank you for your call. Appreciate it. Sophia, you're next on WGN. Hello.
Well, good Good morning to you.
Morning.
I have two quick questions that have nothing to do with your ACL.
Sure.
Okay. Every time I hear you talk on the radio about the measles outbreaks that we've been having, I think back when I was, I'm 80. I'm going to be 80 next month.
Good for you.
When I was a child, no, it
that's
a
fantastic. That's fantastic. You know what, Sophia? It beats not being 80.
Right. That's true. That's true. I have a hard time thinking why I can't do things anymore.
Yeah.
But anyway, when I was a kid, my mother said I had the measles 6 times.
Oh.
I don't know if that's possible, but I know the last time I had them, I was living with a sister. She had 3 children. They had chicken pox. I came home and my sister says, "You've got measles." I had the spots again, but I didn't get the chicken pox. Hmm. And I have been told I have never had chicken pox. And when I've gotten shots, they say at the pharmacy, you know, you've got to have had chicken pox. My mother and sister said, "You never had chicken pox." But I got the shot for, what do you get that stuff that comes back from chicken pox around your body?
The shingles.
That hurts? Shingles. I got the shingles shot because he says you have to have had them. And I've been always told I've never had chicken pox.
So, Dr. Weed, what's your take on this medical miracle we call Sophia?
Yeah, it's a surprising story. It would be my guess, actually, that one of those times that you thought you had the measles was actually probably the chicken pox, especially if you came back from your sister's house and there was chicken pox in that house. Usually, the measles is not something that you get more than once, and usually the chicken pox is not something that you get more than once. But we do actually assume that based on your age, that you probably have been exposed to both of them. And so that is an assumption that I would make.
Is there a test that can be taken to determine that?
There is a blood test that we can do to see if you have antibodies to both of those diseases. Now, it's not perfect, but usually we can use that to help us determine whether we think we need to vaccinate you against those. But usually based on your age, we would assume that you have had it.
All right, Sophia.
All righty. I just thought, this is crazy. How could I have not had this and get the one thing Dr. Lubin always told her, measles again. And I thought, how can that be? How can you keep getting something?
Yeah, it's tricky. Your medical histories, especially going back a ways, can be very tricky to keep track of. Thank you for the call, Sophia. Good luck to you. The 773 area code says, "Will my 20 years of flu shots help me if those strains suddenly come back?"
Oh, that's an interesting question. We don't really expect strains to come back per se. We expect the strains to have some pieces that were similar to before. And so we hope that that helps us in the next seasons. But that is why we have new strains of the vaccines every year, so that it can hopefully predict the new strains that are coming through. So there will be some aspects from your previous immunity that will help you, but we still need to get the new vaccines to help us as the vaccines change or as the virus changes.
The 847 area code says, "Please ask Dr. Wheat if I should go get tested for COVID. I have a horrible sore throat and headaches."
You know, COVID is still around. I also know that flu is still around, so I would get tested for both. And it might help you determine what's going on. And if you were early enough in it, that you might be eligible for some treatments to help you feel better faster and not spread it quite as quickly.
Yeah. Here is Kate on the phone line, 312-981-7200. Kate, you're on WGN. Hello.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Enjoy your show tremendously.
Thank you.
The doctor just said you only get measles once. When I was a child, and I'm 79, my best friend and I would get what they called German measles. We got those more than once. And I'm guessing they weren't really measles. And I don't remember ever having chicken pox.
What's the difference between measles and German measles, doctor?
It is a different virus. And so, yes, that is something that is different. And some people, so German measles is actually rubella, is the other way we think of that. And so it is a different virus. And then some people have been exposed to chickenpox and have it and don't ever actually remember getting sick. And so sometimes we will test people and their body has seen it, even if they've never gotten the vaccine, and will still show that they're immune to it. So most people over a certain age have been at least exposed to it, even if they never had the full-on rash and illness.
Okay. What I remember most about it is that my best friend and I would have to stay at whosever house the parent realized we had the measles. So it turned into a lot of fun for us.
Nice sleepovers. Some fun.
Yes, but
some
they
fun,
were forced.
Yeah, fun but fun itchy fun. Sleepovers, right?
Right. Fun for us, but not our parents. Well, thank you for that information.
Yeah, thank you for
appreciate
the call.
It's
so interesting. I mean, I remember getting all kinds of vaccinations in school. I remember, you know, they would scoop up the whole classroom and go, you know, to one of the rooms in the school, and there'd be a nurse sitting there, and, you know,
and everybody'd stand in line.
Yeah, you stood in line, but I'll be darned if I know if there's any sort of record for any of that. I'm not really sure if I ever had measles or chickenpox or, you know, whatever, and I don't really have any way of checking any of that stuff now.
Yeah. And it's concerning as we're seeing most of it going around lately, too. So we absolutely can test you for it. There are tests that help us. But like I said, there's certain diseases that we assume once you're over a certain age that you've had it because there was so much that went around before. And it will that helps us decide who needs new vaccines and who doesn't.
Yeah. Yeah. Ask your docs about that, because I guess there are ways to check. And you certainly we are very definitely not out of flu season right now. Right.
That is absolutely true. I have a friend whose son just tested positive for the flu this weekend, starting to see some flu B going around. And so it's still not too late to get protected against that as well if you haven't yet.
Yeah. When you go get your snacks for the Super Bowl today, get a vaccination to it at the same time.
It's a great idea.
Make that a tradition every year, so it's Super Bowl and a vaccination at the same time. Dr. Santina Wheat, Program Director, McGaw Northwestern Family Medicine Residency, Northwestern Medicine, Delner Hospital. Have a great Sunday, Doctor. Thank you so much.
Thanks. You too. Have a good one.